Bow your heads, please. Father God, in the name of Jesus, we come before you with grateful hearts, grateful for this day, a day that you've made, Father God, and we will rejoice and be glad in it. We're going to rejoice anyway, but today is special, Father. Today is the day we've set aside just to honor your son, dear Lord God, before Tuesday, which is Christmas, Father. We just thank you for your Holy Spirit resting upon us this day for this service, that we all have ears to hear what your Spirit is saying, Father God, that we fully understand the significance of Jesus' birth. In Jesus' name, let all who agree with that say, amen, 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 amen. So we're going to continue today with He Brought Us Out to Bring Us In. And this is part four. And for you guys that are guests, I just want to encourage you to go back and you can go online to newdaycorona.org and you can listen to the previous messages to help you better understand this message in context. So our scripture, a supporting scripture today is Matthew chapter 1, verses 21 through 23. And this is in honor and commemorate Jesus' birth. Verse 21 says this: "And she will have a son, and you are to name him Jesus, for he will save his people from their sins." He will save his people from their sins. Verse 22. All of this occurred to fulfill the Lord's message through his prophet. Verse 23, look, now, right now, Matthew is quoting Isaiah, okay? The book of Isaiah, which was written 800 years prior to this event. Look, the virgin will conceive a child. She will give birth to a son, and they will call him Emmanuel, and that means God is with us. So my question, why did God come to earth? Why did God come to earth? Why did he come? Well, one, he came to bring us out of the darkness that we're in, and to take us into the kingdom of his dear son. Colossians 1:13 tells us this. It says here, for he has rescued us, say rescued. Rescued. Rescued us from the kingdom of darkness and transferred us into the kingdom of his dear son. Now, I need to camp out here for a moment. I want you to understand fully what this means here. Is that many of us, we have been rescued from the kingdom of darkness and transferred into the kingdom of his dear son, meaning we receive Christ as our Savior. Amen? So now, prior to our first message for this series, I talked about how Moses, through God, raised up Moses to bring the children of Israel out of Egypt. And we talked about how many, they came out of Egypt, but Egypt did not come out of them. A lot of times we hold on traditions, to our culture, to our beliefs, and those things that we're familiar with, and we never fully step into all that God has for us because there's still so much of us from the past that we're holding on to. So I ask everybody, what is your Egypt? And then I pose the question also, who is your Egyptian? Because sometimes there are people or things that we're holding on to, and they're hindering us from receiving all that God has for us. And a mistake that many of us make is that, especially in our community here, is because we get material things and we feel that we've arrived. Now, I'm not against material things. I'm really not. Believe me. Trust me. I own an airplane. I've flown coach 28 hours, and I've flown first class for 28 hours. Given a choice, I'm going first class. Okay, so I need you to hear my heart when I'm saying this, okay? But often we think that is the promises of God. When in reality, I can be flying first class in an airplane, but have lower class or economy at home with my marriage. My kids, where are they? Amen? I need you to hear me about coming out of darkness, okay? Because we can come out of darkness, sort of. We have unbelieving believers in the kingdom of God to be rescued. He said he rescued us from the kingdom of darkness and transferred us into the kingdom of his dear son. And everybody turn your cell phone off, please. Hallelujah. Who texted me? They should know I'm preaching right now. Glory. Colossians 1:13. For he has rescued us. Rescue. Say rescue. Now, rescued means this. Rescued means to save from a hostile or distressing situation. And often, we don't even recognize that we're in a hostile or distressful situation because we've been in it so long. And it's become normal for us. Let me have the photo, please. So here's something I want you to consider. Look at this. Can we turn off the lights, please? Here we have someone. They're in the dark. and they see the glorious light. But there's a hesitancy to move from the darkness into the light. You see the light is a whole lot better than the darkness, but there is some reason, there's something that we're holding on to. Because it's fear. We fear the unknown. We fear the unfamiliar. And I've talked to you about this before. You know, going from darkness to light, it can be scary. I understand that. That's why it's consistently in the scripture, don't fear, don't fear, don't fear. Have no fear. I didn't give you a spirit of fear because we're afraid. God is offering us promises because most of us, though, we have trust issues. And we say we trust God. Yeah, my dime going to heaven. You really believe that? Okay, cool. I believe you believe it. But then what about just having a little heaven here on earth? That means you like got to let go to hell. I need you to think for a moment. Why did he come? He came to bring us out. Not only bring us out, but just bring us in. But we like the comfort of that which is familiar, even when it's dark. And we become so familiar with darkness, you can live in it. Let me prove it to you. For probably, I don't know, a quarter of you last night, about a quarter of you, about 2, 3 a.m., you had to go to the restroom. I'm talking about last night in your bed, you sleep. You had to go to the restroom. And I guarantee you, none of you turned on the light. You knew how to get around in the darkness, handle your business, wash your hands, and make your way back to bed. You know how to live in the darkness. Think about it for a moment. That's why sometimes, you know, you will find a lady who's been in abusive situation after abusive situation. It has become the norm for her. And the thought of being with someone that would treat her well is just foreign. Even if she gets to someone who would treat her well, the thing is that she's like, she will self-sabotage. Oh, you don't mean that. Why are you giving me them compliments? Stop saying that. You probably say that to all the girls. And then you go find someone that will ignore you, mistreat you, put you down, because you're familiar with that. When God has said, you are my daughter, you are fearfully and wonderfully made, but we won't embrace that. We won't believe that. And often, too, when we've experienced trauma, we will keep finding traumatic situations to validate what we believe to be true. And therefore, we won't leave the dark and come into the light that he has for us. And he's already made a way. I've said this before, and many of you know this, when Abraham Lincoln signed the Emancipation Proclamation, legally freeing the slaves and abolishing slavery, ending slavery in America, there were quite a number of slaves, a high percentage, that would not leave the plantation for fear of freedom. They had become so familiar with having their needs provided for that just the thought of being responsible for themselves was scary, and therefore they chose to stay on the plantation. And many of us, that's the same thing we do here. Going from darkness to light is going to require an adjustment in our thinking. Even if our thinking, you think about something. If all the lights are off, you're sitting in a room and the light is just dark. It's just dark. And your eyes actually grow accustomed to that. And if someone comes on and flips on a light, you immediately begin to blink, blink, blink. Wait, you put your head down. It's too much for you. Well, it's the same thing with walking into that light. For some of you, it's too much for you. And you get to walking towards it, and I'm unfamiliar, and I'm going to go back to the darkness. When he came to rescue you from the darkness, why do we put so much hope in darkness and people that are in darkness? We believe in them for some reason. I don't know why. We do that, though. And I know what happens, too. Boy, and I see people, they get into the light, things get to going good, they will self-sabotage. They will do something crazy just to propel them back to where they're comfortable. But God is light. And I'm going to tell you something. He's well worth the adjustment that we need to make. Amen? He's well worth it. He's well worth it. Trust me. You will be so happy you did. I want to show you before, during, and after. I want to talk to you about that light. And 800 years prior to Jesus coming, I want to show you what the scriptures say about it. We're going to look at the light during his birth, and then we're going to look at the light after his birth and what the Word of God tells us about this, okay? So turn, please, with me to Isaiah chapter 8. Isaiah chapter 8. We can turn the lights back on now so I can see. Hallelujah. Isaiah chapter 8. We're going to look at verses 19 to 22, and then we're going to go to chapter 9, verse 1 through 7. Now, I need you to understand this for you guys that don't know, and for you guys that just might need a reminder, that when the Bible was originally written, there were no chapters and verses. We put those in there just so that we can easily find a spot or anything we're looking for, okay? So chapter 8 and chapter 9, there's a chapter break there, but we're going to read right from 8 all the way into 9 because it does go together, okay? Verse 19 says this. This is Isaiah, okay, the prophet speaking. It's 800 years before Jesus. Someone may say to you, let's ask the mediums and those who consult with the spirits of the dead. With their whisperings and murderings, they would tell us what to do. Mutterings, they would tell us what to do. But shouldn't people ask God for guidance? Should the living seek guidance from the dead? Verse 20, look to God's instructions and teachings. People who contradict his word are completely in the dark. So why do we go to them? Let's keep reading. 21, they will go from one place to another weary and hungry. And because they are hungry, they will rage and curse their king and their God. They will look up to heaven and down at the earth. But wherever they look, there will be trouble and anguish and dark despair. They will be thrown out into the darkness. Let's go straight to chapter 9 and keep reading, okay? Verse 1. Nevertheless, that time of darkness and despair will not go on forever. Now watch this, okay, closely. The land of Zebulun and Naphtali will be humbled. You guys going to Israel, you're going to see this, okay? But with this in April. But there will be a time in the future when Galilee of the Gentiles, which lies along the road that runs between the Jordan and the sea, that's the Mediterranean Sea, will be filled with glory. Look at verse 2, please. The people who walk in darkness will see a great light. For those who live in a land of deep darkness, a light will shine. Spoiler alert, it's talking about Jesus. Verse 3, you will enlarge the nation of Israel, and its people will rejoice. We're going to step into the light, we're going to rejoice. They will rejoice before you as people rejoice at the harvest and like warriors dividing the plunder. For you will break the yoke of their slavery. That's what I'm talking about. He can bring you out of slavery and lift a heavy burden from your shoulders. Many of you are carrying too much. The scripture says, cast your cares upon the Lord. You will break the oppressor's rod, just as you did when you destroyed the army of Midian. Verse 5, the boots of the warrior and the uniforms bloodstained by war will all be burned. There will be fuel for the fire. And here we go with verse 6, for a child is born to us, a son is given to us. Usually at Christmas, this is when we pick this verse up. But I want to give you the whole context in which it's written, because we just start off, a child is born, a son is given to us. But I need you to go before that. You understand, why did this child come? To bring us out of the darkness and into the light. It's not just something we do, you know, you get the little manger scene, and I'm all for that, it's all cool. You got the shepherds, and then you got the wise men, and actually, they were about 2 years apart. The shepherds showed up first, and about 2 years later, the wise men showed up, and it wasn't three of them. So what you talking about, Pastor? Go back 2 years ago, I taught that on Christmas, okay? It's on the website, okay. Verse 6, for a child is born to us, and a son is given to us. Watch this, the government, or his kingdom. His kingdom will rest on his shoulders, and he will be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, and my favorite, Prince of Peace. I grew up in hell. It was hell in my house, and I walk outside my house, it was hell. Leaving my house, my mama can't have lunch money, baby, we short. Okay, I'm going to walk into school. Halfway to school, I got these little thugs, give me your money. I'm sick of, anyway, let me stick with my message. Prince of Peace. Shalom. That means nothing missing, nothing broken. You stay in darkness, everything's jacked up. I don't know why. I like the nothing missing, nothing broken. I'm sorry. I'm all for that. You can say with Pastor Tony, whatever, okay? If you grew up like I did, maybe you will understand me more. But I've had enough. I want all that Jesus has for me. His government, his peace, and its peace, its peace. There's with every government, there's going to come a culture. And I love you Republicans, and I love you Democrats. In the name of Jesus, I love y'all. I got a whole nother government idea. It's called the kingdom of God. And in the kingdom, all the needs of the people are met. You think about a kingdom, all the needs of the people, the king ensures that. He ensures our safety and our well-being. Looks out for us. Make sure everything is going good. And some of you are like, well, President Trump, I'm not talking about Trump. I'm not at all. You can do Putin, you can do any other world leader that you want. I'm talking about Jesus. Let's go to Luke chapter 1. Now, that was before. Now, let's talk about during. Now, let me give you a little background on this. So there was a man named John the Baptist. He was prophesied about in the Old Testament. You know you're a bad man when the Old Testament prophesies you coming, okay? I mean, that you somebody special. Hallelujah. So John had a father named Zechariah. Now watch this, Luke chapter 1, we're going to read verse 67 through 79. 67. Well, let's see what the Spirit of the Lord, how he touched Zechariah and what he said about this light. Verse 67, then his father Zechariah was filled with the Holy Spirit and gave this prophecy. This is during Jesus' birth, okay, right around that time. Verse 68, praise the Lord, the God of Israel, because he has visited and redeemed his people. Now, this is the thing about redemption, so you fully understand. When I was a little boy, again, going back to being broke, busted, and couldn't be trusted, so I really could be trusted. I was just disgusted. But we would go, what me and Bubba and Todd and Craig would do, we would go and find bottles. We would go find bottles. And we would scout a neighborhood, the dumpsters, the alleys, we'd find them bottles. Put all them bottles in a shopping cart. You see four little black boys pushing this shopping cart down the street. What they doing? We collect those bottles because we could redeem them. Now, so there were some people that didn't want those bottles, but there was a man at Lou's liquor store. He wanted those bottles, and he would give us 5 or 10 cents for each bottle we bought to him. He saw values in those bottles, and I want you to know that Jesus sees value in you. Verse 69, he has sent us a mighty Savior from the royal line of his servant David, just as he promised to his holy prophets long ago. Verse 71, now we will be saved from our enemies. You know, the scripture tells us in Philippians to work out your salvation with fear and trembling. Work out. Well, I'm already saved. What does it mean? Work out my salvation. If Jesus already saved me, why I got to work it out? Here's the thing. That's why we got to work it out. Because I told you we have unbelieving believers. And so you're still in the dark, like in a photo, but you won't step out into the light. You're still unbelieving. And there is parts of us that we really need to shed that stuff. And that work out your own salvation. Salvation, in that sense, means freedom from the molestation of enemies. And molestation in its most brutal form. You know what I'm saying? We got to work that out. We have to work that out. You have to participate in the process. Now we will be saved from our enemies and from all who hate us. He has been merciful to our ancestors by remembering his sacred covenant. Verse 73, the covenant he swore with an oath to our ancestor Abraham. 74, watch this again. We have been rescued from our enemies so we can serve God without fear. We were rescued so we can serve God without fear. So fear is present? Uh-uh. That's the enemy. 75. In holiness and righteousness for as long as we live. So I was saved. I was rescued not just so I can get some stuff. I need us to understand it because you watch a lot of television preachers. All it is, you know, send some money in so you can get some more stuff. More stuff, more stuff. We get so much stuff, then we need to store it somewhere. And you're spending $300, $400 a month for storage for stuff that really only worth about $200. You do the math over 6 years, you all that storage, you done spent $12,000, $15,000 for something that only worth $500 because we love our stuff. 76, and you, my little son, will be called the prophet of the Most High because you will prepare the way of the Lord. Now he's talking to his son. Zechariah's talking to his son, John the Baptist, okay? Verse 77, you, John, will tell his people how to find salvation through forgiveness of their sins. 78 and 79, watch this. Because of God's tender mercy, which are new every morning, hallelujah. Because of God's tender mercy, the morning, what? Ah, glory to God. The morning light from heaven is about to break upon us. To give light, 79, to give light to those who sit in darkness and in the shadow of death. And my favorite is this last part, and to guide us to the path of nothing missing, nothing broken. That's the goal. That's the goal. He bought us out to bring us in. He bought us out to bring us in. He bought us out of darkness to bring us into the kingdom of his dear son, which is a kingdom of peace. Turn to Colossians, please. We're going to conclude now. Colossians chapter 1. Now, this is afterwards. This is about 30 some odd years after Jesus had gone back to heaven. There was this church, a group of people that were getting together, the Colossians. And Paul, the great apostle, wrote them a letter. And I like to pretend like he's writing to the Colossians. He's writing to the Coronians. Amen. Or the Riversideans. Or where else you got? The East Valians. You Lake Elsinoreans. Wherever else you guys are from. Hallelujah. Okay. Amen. Amen. Now, watch this letter. Now, Paul had never met these people. I need you to see this, okay? Paul had never met them. So watch what Paul is saying. Watch what he's communicating. And I want you to know a lot of what we're about to read here is how I minister and how I rule or manage or lead or whatever you say with New Day. Amen? Watch this. Verse 7, you learn about the good news from Epaphras. That's the guy that came and shared the gospel with him. And that's something else we're going to do a whole lot of more of next year, is going out in this community sharing the gospel. We're going to become very evangelistic in this church, okay? You learn about the good news from Epaphras, our beloved co-worker. He is Christ's faithful servant, and he is helping us on your behalf. He has told us about the love for others that the Holy Spirit has given you. So we have not stopped praying for you since we first heard about you. Makes me wonder, what are people hearing about New Day? Are they hearing about the love we have? Or is it like a lot of division, a lot of gossip? Y'all talking about each other? All up in each other's business? Shouldn't be. If you got something, if you're going to open your mouth, put your mouth on somebody, let it be, Father, help them, bless them, encourage them, Father God. Let their needs be met, Heavenly Father. I pray that their best days are ahead, dear Lord God. Father, if you're going to open up your mouth about something, about someone, okay? Verse 9 again. So we have not stopped praying for you since we first heard about you. We ask God to give you complete knowledge of his will and to give you spiritual wisdom and understanding. Now look at that last sentence again. Doesn't that sound like Pastor Tony? Give you complete knowledge of his will. So in a situation, you know how so many of you guys rebuke it? Like, I know, this ain't God. I know, that's why I tell you, ask God. But everybody, wake up. I need you to hear this. Wake up. I just need you to hear this. Because I want 2019 to be better than 2018. And right now I'm about to drop you something. The Sandman walked up in here and sat down next to you, rubbing you on your back, massaging you. Now you're like, okay. And one of the things that really help you on Sunday morning is go to bed on Saturday night, okay? But that's a whole other message. Okay? Right. Come here expecting, okay? Because if it was your favorite TV show on right now, you'll be wide awake. Ooh, girl, did you see that? Hallelujah, okay? I love you. Please, I love you. And I'm not trying to be mean or anything. I want you to get this, okay? I really want you to get this. Look at that sentence. We ask God to give you complete knowledge of his will. See, the thing is that you assume you know his will because you know your Baptist tradition. You know your spirit field, or you Church of God in Christ, or you you full gospel, or you Methodist, or you figure that's a, no. That those are things that man came up with over the years to emphasize certain aspects of the gospel. I want you to know complete knowledge of his will. I know I'm supposed to be saved, but what else are you on this planet to do? And what's getting in the way of you hearing that? Complete knowledge of his will, and to give you what kind of wisdom? Spiritual. And I'm all for the, I have a master's degree. I got a bachelor's degree. All my kids have education. I am so for education. I promote the kids going to school. I'm crazy about education. I'm putting forth before the advisory team. That's a class I want to take, and it's at Cornell. It's going to cost us money. I need y'all to give me approval so I can take that class and get more educated, okay? I'm all for that, but there's a spiritual wisdom. And we don't have to stop with the spiritual wisdom. There's an understanding that we need to get. That's why this past Bible study has been on understanding. This is a year of understanding. Because these people are saved, but Paul is saying, I'm praying for you that you can have complete knowledge of his will. So you can get saved and still be in the dark and not know his will. Do you understand? Verse 10. Then the way you live will always honor and please the culture that you live in. Then the way you live will always honor and please you being an American. Then the way you live will always show that you're down with the cause. Then the people... I was in a meeting with some pastors. I'm sorry, I'm going to go over time. I was in some meeting with some pastors. They cracked me up. Hey, let me just... Okay. Bless God. Then the way you live will always honor and please the Lord, and your lives will produce every kind of good fruit. What calls to produce fruit? Not be barren. Well, I'm going to stay by myself because I don't trust people. Yeah, let's see how it works out with you bearing fruit. All the while, you will grow. Say, you will grow. Now say, I will grow. As you learn to know God better and better. It's a process. 11, we also pray that you will be strengthened with all his glorious power so that you will have all the endurance. Wait, why need endurance? Because sometimes you might go through some adversity. And you're going to need to be strengthened because things are not going to go your way. My son Brian one time, he was in a band, eighth grade, and they went to Home Town Buffet, after a serve, after they've been in one of them, you know, the band contests, or they, all other bands, band competition. Drum, yeah, but this year, I think it was a whole band. It might have been one of them, okay? It was a whole band this year, junior high. And they're in a hometown buffet, and he goes to use the restroom. Everybody else gets on a bus, and they leave him. Left him at the restaurant. I get a call, and I tell him, Jackie, they left Brian at the restaurant. Jackie had a fit. Jackie's like, they left, and ask her words, they left my baby? The boy's in puberty at this time, but they left my baby? We had a whole different perspective. I'm like, he should have been paying attention. He needs to be responsible. He needs to know what's going on. That's his responsibility. And I'm saying this, she's like, they left my baby? And sometimes, especially when it comes to our kids, it's going to be tough to endure. But sometimes, I'm going to tell you what the book of Judges says, that God would allow them to have adversity because they've never known how to fight. And sometimes we won't endure that. We will pull them out too quick, and they'll never develop. Because right now, Brian is married. And if every 20 minutes, his wife is calling me, what kind of man is that? But see, sometimes we have to learn to endure some things. Now, you have all the endurance and patience you need, because stuff is not going to always go your way. May you be filled with joy. Hallelujah. Always thanking the Father. He has enabled you to share in the inheritance that belong to his people. Watch this. Who live in the light. Not just stick your head out the darkness and look at it. You're living in the light. 13. For he has rescued us from the kingdom of darkness. Glory to God. And transferred us into the kingdom of his dear son, who purchased our freedom and forgave our sins. Can I have that photo up again, please? God, through Jesus Christ, has brought us out of the darkness and into the light. Living in the light is his desire for all of mankind. And this was evidenced at the very beginning when God said, when he moved upon the earth, the face of the deep, where it was dark and the earth was void and without form, and he said, let there be light. Isaiah, we read that. Zechariah, we heard him. And Paul, in his letter to Colossians, all spoke of this light. This light is Jesus Christ, the author and finisher of our faith. He was born in a manger so that I can come out of darkness and move into the glorious light. He bought me out to bring me in. He bought me out to bring me in. He bought you out to bring you in. Will you stop dragging your feet? Will you trust God? Nothing in your life has caught God by surprise. I applied for a job at RTD. Musicians, come forward. The praise team, come forward. I applied for a job at RTD, which is now MTA. And I was number 9 on the list of like 800 and some people. I was so happy to have a job. I just out of high school, still trying to figure things out. And they were paying, get this, they're $9.75 an hour. Wow. Y'all like, that ain't nothing. Hey, 1981, that was a whole lot of money. And they were paying overtime. I lived up there. I worked so much that year. I made $25,000 that year. I was amazed. I was happy. And I thought that's what it was all about. I'm still being foolish, living crazy, just dumb stuff. But see, here's the thing. What I didn't know was that there was going to be a young lady 1 year later who was going to start working also. And what happened was they assigned me to go to the San Fernando Valley. I'm thinking I got to ride this bus. I didn't have a car. I rode the bus from Compton to San Fernando Valley. Took me 3 hours to get to my job. Then I had to wait 2 hours at night because the bus stopped working. But see, talking about endurance and patience, then the young lady starts working there. God has a plan. And sometimes you think he's not at work. He's always at work. And so when you're going through your challenges and your difficulties, and like, God, why is this happening to me? What is going on? That's why I say, Father, give me knowledge of your will right now. What I didn't know is that I would meet Jackie. And at 30-something years later, we would start a church, me pastoring a church. And us going to Africa, us doing all the things we're doing. There are 9 churches today that are under our care that are having service all over the world. I had to go to San Fernando Valley on a bus. He was at work. So that looks dark, it looks difficult, but he's always at work. So my prayer for you is that you would have endurance and patience as you're coming out of darkness and a little period adjusting to the light, that you will maintain your faith, stay focused, forward focus. Remember, forward focus, not looking at the past, forward focus. We learned it last week. And step into all that he has for you. He is victory. He has overcome. We just need to step in and embrace all of that. Amen? God bless you. Amen.